We open cold, and he's been crisscrossing the country for sure. We're lucky to pin him down. Chris Lutica, Old Man Lutica, is here. You want to open the show, or how do you want to?
I can say hello.
Have you caught your breath yet?
I have, thanks. Yeah, okay. There's only one flight of stairs.
Shut the door, lock and latch it. The Blue Notes Opera House is on tonight. Nothing stodgy about maritime music or people who love music here at all. We're launched, the Blue Notes Opera House. Chris Lutica, great to have you here. And I was saying off air, I was mispronouncing your name years and years ago at Folk Harbor. And I guess people do that all the time as they misspell mine left, right, and center. But who cares? It's great to have you here. And I've seen you in so many different venues now. And there's a bit of a climb. We'll get into that in a minute. But let's open with... And you brought in some music, too, of yours. But let's open right now with Three Dog Night.
Want some whiskey in your water, sugar in your tea? What's all these crazy questions they're asking me? This is the craziest party that could ever be. Don't turn on the lights, because I don't want to see. Mama told me let's go.
Yeah.
Chris Lunica, the first time I saw you on stage, probably again at Lunenburg at Folk Harbor, I said to myself, that looks kind of like Don Herron's alter ego, Charlie Farquharson. Have you ever gotten that before?
Oh, no, never once.
Used to work with Don.
Yeah, right.
Now, you're here, and I'm itching to get into your music.
Uh-huh.
And what you've been doing lately, because I get goosebumps thinking about it, to be honest. But I wanted to ask you, where did it all start? First of all, where were you born?
Born and raised in Toronto. Gasp if you wish, or whatever, exhale. Born and raised there. I went to university in Montreal, and then went up to the Yukon for a summer and met a girl who was going to come to NASCAD in the fall in Halifax. So that's how I ended up in Nova Scotia, and then I had bought a banjo in Vancouver after that summer, and ended up sort of getting into it pretty seriously in Halifax.
Now, when you were in Toronto and then in school in Montreal, mm-hmm. what were you going to head for?
Well, I wasn't really sure. I didn't know.
Liberal arts?
I was looking for something. Yeah, I mean, I did an English degree, English and religious studies degree, but I had had a sort of crisis when I gave up, when I didn't play music when I was in university. Mm-hmm. I thought that I wasn't sure if I was willing to practice to dedicate myself to the clarinet, which I was pretty serious about at the time. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't play music for the 4 years of school plus the 2 months.
What was your inspiration? Somebody in your family, parents, grandparents,
siblings? Dad is a wonderful piano player who had a real sort of romantic, tortured kind of relationship with the piano. He had turned his back on it. And so he only really played sort of when my mom was getting ready or Saturday weekend mornings, you know. And so there would be this beautiful music, and he was totally obsessed. I mean, you couldn't talk to him when he was listening to music. But he for whatever reason had become an accountant instead. So that was sort of the framework into which my appreciation of music was born, I guess, and then raised. And so I always considered music to be supremely important and something that was almost, you know, almost a little bit too good for me, you know.
Because that's an interesting aspect. When you were in school, were you in any music clubs or did you do anything?
I did. I went to music clubs, and of course I was in the University of Montreal, so I would buy tickets to the symphony and stuff like this, and I could go see all kinds of wonderful shows. And then of course the bars had their music that they had. I would go to Irish pubs, and I was a university student during the time when the music from the Maritimes was really popular. Everywhere, you know, Ashley MacIsaac and company were really making waves, and there were the Irish bands like Mahones and Spirit of the West and stuff mm-hmm. like that. It was a real Celtic folk revival, and that was happening sort of late 80s, early 90s. I mean, I was in university in the mid 90s, I guess, but so that's kind of where. So I always had a sort of romantic view to the East, which is why when I met my now wife and she said she wanted to move out here, I was like, sure, I'll go out there.
So you brought in some music of yours,
mm-hmm.
and what's this first one that you have lined up?
Well,
Delia
and Wilhelmina. Well, this is a song that's actually named after. We've just had two daughters born to us, twin daughters born July of last year.
Wonderful.
In Bridgewater here at the hospital, mm-hmm. and they are the first song that I've written about them. It's not just about them, but I think it is mostly about them. And I recorded this with a bunch of friends from Montreal who were down for the Deep Roots Festival. They stayed at our place. They're called Lake of Stew. They've just broken up, unfortunately. And they came, and we all went down to Riverport and played this and a bunch of other songs together in the fall.
Oh, my little guy.
Oh, Lordy, sing all about it. I've been down, but I'm getting out of it. Hold me close, I will not let you fall. I do not want for nothing at all. Head down in a trench like wartime. I don't see the sun or moonshine, searching for the portrait of the queen. And then her face is awful green. Oh, Lord, sing all about feel the noose I call that living. I don't suffer no sorrow, no strife. I asked around and buddy, that's just life. Oh Lord, we sing all about it. I've been down, but I'm getting out of it. Hold me close, I will not let you fall. I do not want for nothing at all. Of childless heartbreak, all our dreams like a slow leak escape. Miracles have come through us in twos. Idea, Wilhelmina, cure the blues. So Lord, sing all about it. I've been down, me close, I will not let you fall. I do not want for nothing at all. I do not want for nothing at all.
We're hardly into overdrive. This is the Blue Nose Opera House.
Like to say hello to our listeners, Jane and Matt Durnford of Riverport, along with Paul Buchanan, hello, 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 and Ailey Campbell at Buchanan's Music Store, Mahone Bay. They were a guest last week. And without making it heavy, I would just simply, many of us are parents, I would just simply like to sort of get parallel to the idea of hugging Ina and John Allen of Mahone Bay, who lost their daughter. There was a celebration of life recently in the mug, which was packed, and it was a health issue. And I just want them, maybe in a quiet way, to know that we can't exactly feel their grief, but we can share it as parents, and we can, if they wish, go along on the journey with them. So the best to you. They're such talented people who constantly give back to their community. All right, we're about ready to tee up. And Chris, we're going to have Jill Barber front and center. And interesting that some of the musicians on her album, they're mixed, but she has on some cuts, like this one coming up, The Sojourners. And Tom Gallant wrote the liner notes, and Jill Barber wrote the song, Oh My My.
Oh my my, oh my my, oh my my. Oh my my.
I went to the doctor,
oh, my, my.
Knocked at his door,
oh, my, my.
And he said, girl, what can oh, my, I do you for?
Oh, my, my.
And I said, doctor,
oh, my, my.
For a start,
oh, my, my.
The man I love is oh, done and my. Broke my heart,
oh, my, my.
And he checked my pulse,
oh, my, my.
I had fever too,
oh, my, my.
And he said, girl, there's oh, my, nothing my. I can do,
oh, my, my.
You are lovesick,
oh,
there ain't no cure,
oh, my, my.
I fear the devil's oh, knocking my, at your door,
oh, my, my.
And he sent me home,
oh, my, my.
And straight to bed,
oh, my, my.
And he gave me pain,
oh, my, my.
And rest my head,
oh, my, my.
But it won't
oh,
do,
my, my.
Cause all I want,
oh, my, my.
All I need,
oh, my, my.
Is darling
oh,
you,
my, my.
I said please.
You let me go.
heart might be too weak to say. And I said, doctor, I'm not ready to die. I said, doctor, won't you say you'll try? And I said, please, don't let me go. 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 You may never love again. And I said, doctor, the love I had to start, I gave it to the man who done and broke my heart.
Broke my heart.
He broke my heart.
Broke my heart.
He broke my heart.
Broke my heart.
He broke my heart.
Broke my heart.
Broke my heart.
Broke my heart.
Barber, oh my my, Chris Ludicky, oh man Ludicky with us, Ludica. And I want to go back to Toronto. You're in Toronto before heading to Montreal, and you said you dropped into some of the jazz clubs. So I have the feeling that you really like almost all kinds of music.
Well, yeah, I guess you can like all kinds of music and still hate opera, but my dad was an opera fan, so I like that too.
You like opera?
Oh yeah, sure.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it's weird. I mean, the music I like, I like it all pretty much. Yeah.
We had Pam Birdsall on a couple of weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
and she wanted me to pull out. And I found it, the Pearl Fishers.
Oh yeah.
Gallipoli, I think it was, famous tune, almost like Nessun Dorma. And so, in order to kind of balance that and get her back, I brought in the soundtrack from a movie called The Mission. Marconi's mm-hmm. The Mission, and the song was you could almost feel as if you're in a canoe paddling
right.
Up the Amazon, and the beat of the drums, and it was called On Earth as It Is in Heaven, and her eyes were filled with water by the time that, just a beautiful piece of music. So Toronto, then you decided to go to school in Montreal, not sure why. Did you?
Well, you could drink there when you're 18.
Ah, okay, that's enough. And so you continued when you had the time visiting clubs. You certainly had a variety of music in Montreal.
Oh yeah, sure. Yeah. A lot of the Irish, like the old Dublin pub and mm-hmm. Hurley's and that sort of thing.
And then you took off for the West Coast.
I went up to the Yukon,
Yukon.
To read books in the wilderness.
Oh wow, how long were you there?
About 4 months, but I met my wife about 3 days after being there, and that kind of ruined the plan of books. I don't think I read.
And she
more
dragged
than one.
You. Scratching and clawing and screaming to Nova Scotia,
right?
Out of curiosity,
without the scratching, yeah. or the clawing, or the dragging.
And what did you think you'd do when you got here?
Well, I wasn't sure. My first job was working on the Martu, the sailboat in the Halifax Harbor, and I was playing the banjo and doing anything I could. I ended up working as a temp for Revenue Canada for a tax season.
Uh oh,
yeah.
Can't tell them about Glo McNeil on the program a few weeks ago and winning the $275,000, but we didn't say that. We didn't say that. Okay.
No.
Now, when you wrote I Quit My Job.
Sure.
Which is almost like a signature song, is it not?
I guess so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And people,
it's a signature that's illegible.
People relate to that.
Yeah.
Simply because not just that they did quit their job, but even if they're not and they're hanging on, it's what they're thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
Getting out of here.
Sure.
And is my memory correct when you said to an audience once you had a job where you're maybe 5-6 steps below street level and you could see the legs walking by?
Yeah, that's right. It was the Dell Art Center in Halifax.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was selling symphony subscription tickets for Symphony Nova Scotia. And then, of course, a couple of years later, I got to lead the band.
Yeah.
Right. This is the funny part about this.
Juxtaposition.
The job I quit and wrote the song about is actually I ended up playing, sitting in front of them with them.
Did you, when was the moment where you said, I have to do this full time? This is going to be my career.
Right. Well, it probably happened a long time before I did the quitting of the job.
Right.
I quit the job in a spit of rage and then paid the consequences for the next, year or something like that afterwards. But that was the song was written in that moment.
Every musician seems to go through that moment, that crisis of thinking, I've got to do this full time. How can I make the mortgage payments or the rent payment? Mm-hmm. How do we do this? And you find a way, I guess.
Yeah.
You brought in some music with you, and it's the Carter family. What does that mean to you?
Well, I bought two records on this one day, and one of them was Sam Cooke Live at the Harlem Square Nightclub. I bought that for $1.
Wow.
And I bought the Carter family. It was the original Carter Family was the name of the album on RCA. One of them I was like, wow, this is amazing. The other one I was like, that's what I would like to do. And this is the one I would like to do.
Not sing in the shower, but just what you'd like to do.
I love the guitar sound of this. I just think it's so beautiful.
Would have been better for us both had we never in this wide and wicked world had never met. For the pleasure we've both seen together, I'm sure love I'll never forget. Oh, I'm thinking tonight of my blue eyes, who is sailing far over the sea. Oh, I'm thinking tonight of my blue eyes, and I wonder if he ever thinks of me. But a link in the chain has been broken, leaves me with a sad and aching heart. Oh, I'm thinking tonight of my blue eyes, who is sailing far over the sea. Oh, I'm thinking tonight of my blue eyes, and I wonder if he ever thinks of me. And say to the strangers around you, upper heart you have broken lies here. Oh, I'm thinking tonight of my blue eyes, who is sailing far over the sea. Oh, I'm thinking tonight of my blue eyes, and I wonder if he ever thinks of me.
That's the Carter family here in the Blue Nose Opera House.
Please remain calm and seated. This is the Blue Nose Opera House.
That's redundant. Man, when he gives you the cue, he is serious. Back in the Blue Nose Opera House, Chris Ludica. And it's a real pleasure having you here. And I almost get vertigo, not agoraphobia, but vertigo when I look at you now, because from Lunenburg to various events up and down the coast and Celtic Colors. And then I check your website to see where you're playing, and you just got back from Newfoundland. So you're crisscrossing. How much are you home now?
Well, actually, for the next couple of months, I'm actually here a fair bit. I just made a new record in Nashville in January.
Wow.
I went to Nashville for, I guess, just over a week and, and made a new record. So I've got a little bit of fallow time as we sort of gear up for that coming out.
I've always wondered, Chris, a couple of big questions. And one is, do, like painters, Susan Hudson was mentioning this to me at the Pier Gallery, the painters have their seasons. Mm. And if they live on the South Shore, for example, they'll use the summer and do all the festivals and events. Mm-hmm. And then they kind of go almost underground and they get ready for fall. In the winter, they really produce. In the spring, they get ready again for the new season or finish their works and get ready to open galleries. Are musicians like that? Do they pretty much have a clock that mirrors the seasons, where they hibernate a bit or write or think about what they want to do next?
I never have. I've never had this sort of block of time off before, but I guess maybe things are a little bit less hand-to-mouth or something maybe now than they were in the past. Yeah, in terms of creativity, having just made a record, now I get to write a bunch of songs for free because there's no threat of them going on to a record, you know, whereas last year I had a record to look forward to. Now there's no danger of having to make a record. I mean, you know, so I've got nothing but creative time. And you know, being in Nashville was pretty inspiring, so I've got a lot of stuff I want to do. So I would say that about any musician, but it seems like there's obviously the big festivals in the summer. You can travel across Canada, across the U.S. A couple of times I've gone to festival seasons in Australia now, so they're during our winter. So, you know, and if I could do that every year or every 2 years, which I guess I am doing, I would continue to do that. I mean, I like the playing, so.
I can tell that. I don't know if you've ever worked with, we were talking off air, I want to mention in a few minutes, but about the musicians you've worked with. And I don't know if you've worked with Anna Ludlow.
I have, yeah. Just in Lunenburg.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
She's coming in right now to do the Jig of Slurs.
Thank you.
Solo, The Jig of Slurs, Blue Nose Opera House, Chris Lutica. And boy, there's nothing sedate about that either. She's got David McIsaac on acoustic guitar and James Gaddy, bass guitar, who tours with, works with Barry McNeil.
Barry's, yeah.
And you have worked with dozens and dozens of people. Just for starters, Anna Ludlow.
Yeah, well, we do a gig. She does a gig every Wednesday night, I think, in
Lunenburg
in the summertime in the Fish Factory. And I've got to do a couple of those with her, which is really fun.
They're fun?
Yeah, and nice and close to home. Great thing to do in the summer. Lunenburg has got such energy in the summer.
You feel that when you go in as a non-Lunenburger, when you go into town. You pick up on that.
Yeah.
That's interesting. The towns are so different. Not that we're going to get into sociology, but Lunenburg, Mahone Bay, Chester Basin.
Sure.
Each with its own character. So who are some of the people that you've worked with? And not just recordings, but shows.
Well, geez, I don't know.
On it goes. Tom Gallant, I'll kick it off. Anna Ludlow.
Yeah, I just made a record with a guy. Are we doing a Tim O'Brien song later in the show?
It's up to you.
Oh, yeah, I think we are. I made a record with him and some bluegrass dudes down in Nashville. That was pretty awesome. But yeah, playing with the Bears was really great at Celtic Colors last fall. I did one song with them for a recording that they're making of a bunch of people that they were excited to see at the festival. I got to spend a day in the studio with them, and then we did a show where the songs were featured.
Do you find it, was it intimidating when you're going in, there's just so much time and you know they have to bang out 10 or 12 or whatever number they're going to do in this, and all of a sudden you're there, and there was a lot of humor, a lot of lightness when people were passing the music around. Was that kind of
great?
Neat?
I mean, it was the studio was awesome, and
was that in Sydney?
Sydney, just outside of Sydney, right? Mm-hmm. Sydney River, is it?
Yep.
The way I've typically made records is I've had to do four songs in a day. Wow. At times. And I'm okay with that because I play my songs a certain way. So to have a day with them to do this one song was pretty great, and we worked really hard.
Are you ever intimidated? And I don't mean that as a put down or anything else, but even Sinatra would say that if he was going into a room, it would take him five songs, not so much to warm up, but to feel the vibe back from the audience, and then he would be cooking. So
yeah,
when you're on the stage...
Well, if you're talking about live performance, then for sure, but I think it's one of my strong suits. If you're talking about the studio, yes. I mean, I try to just do a good job, so I'm always, and I'm generally in a situation where I'm fairly solitary in that endeavor. So I'm always looking for a way into the sort of heart of what it is. So when I'm recording with the Bears, I need to make sure that I'm as confident in myself with the way that it's going so that, you know, or whatever, whoever I'm playing with, I have to be presenting the best version of myself.
You bet.
Because I want my performance to be good, you know.
Can that be scary? If you have,
generally when you're in the actual moment, it's not that scary at all. Mm-hmm.
And what about when you're on stage in Mabu? They had five musicians on stage. You were one of the five. Ron Hines was sitting on one side of you.
Yeah.
And was that kind of a different feeling too? You're working with them, but also you've got this audience and this wonderful auditorium.
Well, song circles can be hit or miss, and songs, and you know, sometimes they're great, and that was a great one.
Okay, Chris. Yeah, I'm making you sweat now, and you're going to work as co-host. You have some music coming up. What's it going to be?
Well, I think we'll play another song off my EP that came out in the fall called Sing Out About It. The tune is Monsanto Jones, but a very disastrously named little boy.
Your parents, they were different. They lived up that dirt road. Your mama, she was pregnant. There was something that she knew. If you were born a boy at all, she had a name for you so strong. It wasn't long till the world found out your mama, she was wrong. Monsanto Jones, Monsanto Jones, all the blame lies in your name. Monsanto Jones, Monsanto Jones, Monsanto Jones, all the blame lies in your name. Monsanto Jones. She called you Monsanto, since your jawline and your eyes, there weren't too many relations to call. common question why. When you started school, every farm you knew that you spit when you heard that word. And lawyers proud and near about got hungry when they heard. Monsanto Jones, Monsanto Jones, all the blame lies in your name. Monsanto Jones, Monsanto Jones, Monsanto Jones, all the blame lies in your name. Monsanto Jones. Somehow your name floated on the breeze to the corporate side of the fence. The agribusiness giant tried to find the sense. Now were you a boy wonder all grown up from a seed? Around a ready modified to do an evil deed. Monsanto Jones, Monsanto Jones, all the blame lies in your name. Monsanto Jones, Monsanto Jones, Monsanto Jones, all the blame lies in your name. Monsanto Jones. Well, either way, the Joneses paid in court for copyrights. The poor boy's entire life became a legal fight. There's an office in St. Louis that patents living things, where doctors, lawyers, scientists claim anything with genes. Monsanto Jones, Monsanto Jones, all the blame lies in your name. Monsanto Jones, Monsanto Jones, Monsanto Jones, all the blame lies in your name. Monsanto Jones. Monsanto Jones posted pictures of his contested head. He'd been sued within an inch of life and was wishing he was dead. The courts had ruled and they were fooled. He'd have to pay just for being a child. There was no seed on all the earth that could still be counted wild. Monsanto Jones, Monsanto Jones, all the blame lies in your name. Monsanto Jones, Monsanto Jones, Monsanto Jones, all the blame lies in your name.
Monsanto, that's Old Man Lutica here on the Blue Nose Opera House.
Cell phones off, no cameras. This is the Blue Nose Opera House.
Here we are back in the Blue Nose Opera House with Chris Lutica. And I hope this doesn't flip you out, but this is the year, in fact, April, the 100th anniversary of Titanic sinking.
Right.
And I thought Nova Scotia musicians should get together and produce one huge talent-filled CD. And I talked to Peter Tanya about it and saying I'd even like to be involved in raising the money for it. And so you may say, why on earth would you play Frank Sinatra on this segment with you? Well, there was a song written by Jimmy Van Heusen and Sammy Kahn, and it was written well after that sinking. But I think of this song because of people dancing and the band playing and playing to keep people calm as the tragedy started to unfold. And this is called The Last Dance, and why not?
It's the last dance. We've come to the last dance. They're dimming the lights down. They're hoping we'll go. It's obvious they're aware of us. The pair of us alone on the floor. Still I want to hold you like this forever and more. It's the last song. They're playing the last song. The orchestra's yawning. They're sleepy, I know. They're wondering just when will we leave. But till we leave, keep holding me tight through the last dance. Each beat of the last dance, save me the first dance in your dreams tonight. we leave, but till we leave, keep holding me tight through the last dance. Each beat of the last dance, and save me the first dance in your dreams tonight.
Here we are. And, you know, I don't know if you were sitting there saying, what on earth is he doing with the Sinatra tune, The Last Dance? But there's just something not only sexy about that, but one could tie it in to what happened in April of 1912. And I think it'd be great to have an album coming out of Nova Scotia talent to signify that.
It'd be great. Mm. Yeah.
And I was asking you before about live performances and where he had said that it takes him about 5 songs to feel back from the audience. And when he was appearing once in Toronto at Maple Leaf Gardens, that's what it took, about 4 or 5 songs. And he was smooth. I mean, the professional side of him was there. But after the 5th song, you could even feel the move in the audience.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, that guy was in charge.
That's right.
And it was like a veil that came down. It was just amazing. And speaking of music and work, a question I always have for musicians when I think about their work, is it more difficult today? In the old days, you'd take a song, if you were a Phil Spector or a Prodigy, and you'd take a song, you'd put it together, and then you'd run it around to record companies and try to get a deal. But even then, you often had to flog it yourself, go to radio stations and speak to the music director or the people to get airplay. And then you would hope it would spread from that station to others.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time it didn't. Is it so different today with the internet and with CDs and marketing?
I imagine it looks quite different. I imagine it feels pretty similar. You know, who knows?
I
can't really imagine. I don't get a ton of it. I play the banjo, mm-hmm. you know. But the CBC has been very helpful, and I do get played in some places. But it's not... you know, you do what you have to do.
You have to get out there and promote it and play it. And
well,
meet
you
people.
Want to make play gigs, and that's how my whole life is based is live performance. You know, it's
okay. Mm-hmm. 5 years ago, 6 years ago, 7 years ago, and now up to 2012. What is your schedule like? When I look at your website,
it looks pretty great right now.
You're zigzagging.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
yeah, but I'm not going. I'm going to the UK this summer, and but I've got the next little while off, and then but I get to go play in Australia, and I'll go to California, and I'll go to Texas, and
how early do these places pin you down to agree to come and play?
Well, I mean, you know, I play the banjo for a living.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's still a growing process, you know.
And family, now that you have 2 children, mm-hmm. twins, when do you write?
Well, it's turning out to be sort of similar. I think this is a question you really want to ask.
Yeah, I do.
And I mean, if you really want the answer.
An idea.
I mean, the truth
you.
Is I could sit right now and ignore
yep.
you for probably 25 to 30 minutes and maybe nothing will happen, you know, and mm-hmm. maybe I'll just be doing something else. And I was reading a booklet about John Prine last night and he's like, you know, I'd abandon the song to eat a hot dog, but maybe the attention span that leads you to a hot dog would also be the place where some of the best songs are found. And I think I'm not going to say any better than that tonight.
Joni Mitchell, when she was running dry and had a couple of known songs, rented a car and went from one coast to the other. And she got her inspiration just going down the highway and being alone. And I did. And she get to a motel and start writing.
Right, sure.
And I guess everybody has their, like authors too, they have their different way of turning it on and mm-hmm. doing it. And or carrying paper with them. And all of a sudden they get an idea at 3 a.m. or on the roadside, they do it.
Yeah, I mean, you never know where it's going to hit you, but you got to sort of hold on.
You brought in some music with you, and Tim O'Brien is an influence in your life. So tell us about the next
song.
Yeah,
well, I just made a record with him in Nashville, so this is why I'm pretty jazzed about it. But a couple of years ago, he came to Vancouver and sang on my last record. I had played some gigs with him in England, and he's just a wonderful all-around folk guy. He's got a real sense of groove, a real sense of song in a way that lots of the sort of real hot bluegrass players, you know, he doesn't commit the sins of the real hot pickers. He's just really tasty.
Well, and how about this song? Tell us about
Well, in this song, he just sings like hell, and I think he's playing mandolin, and he's singing really high.
Mountain plain, full of pain, how I ache to be at home. Prairie skies, I wonder why I left you so all alone. One more ride, just one more ride, and I will rest my hide. Frankly, dear, when you're not here, I'm alone. Follow my dream until it seemed that I'd rather be at home. I did it right, I did it wrong, but it took too goddamn long. One more ride, just one more ride, and I will be by your side. Frankly, dear, when you're not here, I'm alone.
What a wonderful song that was. And I have to say, quite modestly, I don't care where I am in the audience, at the back, just watching your ascension and watching your work and just having fun and enjoying it is an honor for me. And anytime, pick up the phone or email. We'd love to have you back. If something's going to happen, let's not just have a toe in the water. Please come back to the Blue Nose Opera House.
Oh, I'd love to come back. Thanks so much. Up next, guest co-host Woodman Jeff Amos with Paul Kellogg, the other host of the Blue Nose Opera House.
This is our second hour, Blue Nose Opera House, on this Sunday night. And so, Jeff Amos, did you get the sawdust off your slacks and your jeans and your boots?
It's never
there?
Off.
You scrape them off. And so you think you can waltz in here and bring in this retro music from the Mamas and Papas and Gordon Lightfoot and Joni Mitchell. You just think you can come in here for the first time, sit on the program, take over the music, take over the announcing. Well, I got news for you, pal. We're going to kick it off with not the music of the Beatles that you asked for. We're going to take it to Abbey Road Studios, though. We're going to squeeze in, a little bit larger than this studio, symphonic sounds, just for fun, music of the Beach Boys. And they got together with some of the children of the Beach Boys, with the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra, Mike Love, Bruce Johnston, Terry Melcher, Adrian Baker, and others. And they came up with a medley like this.
Catch your wave and you're sitting on top of the world. Let's go surfing now, everybody's learning how. Come on a safari with me. Come on a safari with me.
Said that's a fun way to start off that. You know what? That'd be like a rain dance. That'll bring a blizzard for sure in here. Jeff Amos, welcome.
Thank you.
And I've been carrying around, see this? It says right here, Jeff Amos, Blockhouse, Nova Scotia. You're the woodman. Amos Wood Moldings and Millwork. That's not a commercial. And I'm going to put you to work. So you're going to have sweat pouring off your brow before we get through with you. And you're going to have your choice. It's not behind door one, door two, or door three. but something like that. We can either do an Atlantic trivia contest, you can do a commercial for mustard, or you can do Dame Edna's stretch mark removal recipe. So whatever you think you can handle.
Well, let's go for Dame Edna.
Okay. We wanted to welcome you to this because not only did we want to find out if there's a bit of a ham in you, but truly, Chris Ludicky is a guy who's kind of reinvented himself. They say the job's been heading west, and I put that in our promo leading up to tonight's program, that we would have Chris and you on the program. And I would imagine there have been many reincarnations in your life. I know I haven't known you very long, but I know of a few already. And we won't talk about the other side, the dental side. But where did it all begin? You were born where?
Born in Ottawa, 3 weeks later in Victoria. First birthday in Moncton. Dad was in the Navy, and we all traipsed around after him in fine style.
That was a long labor. You were born in Ottawa but emerged in Victoria?
Something like that, yeah.
I see, okay. So you moved around a lot.
Yeah, we moved steadily through all the years till grade 7, and we planted for 5 years in Manitic in grade 7.
And what made you come to Nova Scotia?
Brother Greg and Suzanne.
I was going to ask you if you're related to... I knew that you were, but I wanted you to, yep, to say that. They got here first?
They settled in... They came down here in 73, and I visited 1 year, another year, another year, and I moved in 76.
You're a bit like the Chapin family. Steve Chapin got here first, then the father, yep, arrived, and Tom Chapin. So what brought them here? Can you remember?
Greg and Suzanne just fought. They had a short apprenticeship for pewter in New Brunswick, mm-hmm, and came exploring, landed on Main Street of Mahone Bay, and found the dory shop, and the rest is history.
And was the dory leaning up against it, the hunky dory?
Not quite
at the
that
time?
At that point, no.
All right, so you came down to visit them.
Yep.
And was there a magnet in the road that kept bringing you back to Nova Scotia?
Yeah, it was plainly the emerging craftsman's scene. The craft shows were vital. There were leather workers, there were potters, there were pewter, there were other wood people. Mm-hmm. A whole bunch of us, younger people, excited to see a way to go forward doing something we all like to do.
With your hands.
And in this small community, mm-hmm, supporting us to make a living, mm-hmm, amazingly enough.
Right across the street was Birdsall Worthington. Yep. They've been in business 35 years.
Yep.
And Greg and Suzanne were at it for at least, what, 3 decades?
3 decades and change, yes.
And so now move ahead. You decided to come out here, and what was on your mind that you would do first?
Oh, I wanted tools and wood.
Really?
Yep.
You're always attracted to forestry.
Tools and wood of fine furniture making.
Oh, okay.
The forestry paid some bills after school, and I bought a piece of land in northern BC with others. The forestry, curiously, not only paid those bills, but gave me an opportunity of learning the deep, dark industrial woods.
And your original family, were they supportive of having two kids who were creative?
Oh, yeah. The unfolding of that. Mom and Dad brought us up and set us loose.
And you brought in some music. What is it?
Well,
Joni Mitchell.
It's a variety of Joni Mitchell and, mm-hmm, all those characters.
And what takes you back with Joni Mitchell?
She evokes a couple of things. The beginning of people thinking differently on two fronts, somewhat with her song about paving the parking lot. Mm-hmm. It's just a bell ringer that sounds again and again and again. And something, her more lyrical ones, the call to Woodstock, those are, they epitomize that incredible period of our lives.
And the change going on. And this is, yeah, from the same album as Paving the Parking Lot, but this is the title song to Cord and Spark.
Love came to my door with a sleeping roll and a madman's soul. He thought for sure I'd seen him dancing up a river in the dark, looking for a woman to court and spark. He was playing on the sidewalk for passing change. When something strange happened, glory train passed through him. So he buried the coins he made in People's Park and went looking for a woman to court and spark. Seemed like he read my mind. He saw me mistrusting him and still acting kind. He saw how I worried. Sometimes I worry sometimes. All the guilty people, he said, they've all seen the stain on their daily bread, on their Christian names. I cleared myself, I sacrificed my blues, and you could complete me, I'd complete you. His eyes were the color of the sand in the sea, and the more he talked to me, you know, the more he reached me. But I couldn't let go of L.A., city of the fallen angels.
That was Joni Mitchell's Court and Spark, a landmark album. Artist she was, songwriter too, and a wonderful singer, and still evolving. Court and Spark.
Much more coming to you from the Blue Nose Opera House.
Jeff Amos is our, not Amos and Andy, it's our edition of the Blue Nose Opera House tonight. And I'm so glad you popped by. It's kind of an informal get-together. I've only seen you in the shop. And we're going to play some more music, but we're going to ask you in just a few moments about how you got the business started, how it evolved, and then a very new direction for you, relatively recently, for Amos Wood Products.
Oh, yes.
But right now, I thought we would squeeze in some music that might be very different, and I'm sure before your time, but it's from, this one's from Broadway. And I don't know if your parents played it. It certainly is not anything to do with the 60s, 70s era, but it's Showboat and that classic song, and this is actually from the cast recording, Old Man River.
There's an old man called Mississippi. That's the old man that I wants to be. What does he care if the world's got trouble? What does he care if the land ain't free? Old Man River, that old man river, he must know something, but don't say nothing. He just rolling, he keeps on rolling along. He don't plant taters, he don't plant cotton, and them that plants them is soon forgotten. But Old Man River, he just keeps rolling along. You and me, we sweat and strain, body all aching and racked with pain. Tote that barge, lift that bale, get a little drunk, and your land's in jail.
is just an ecstasy. He says, I don't hear that music every day. Can I take it home tonight and play it? Here we are back with Jeff Amos in the Blue Nose Opera House. And if you hear a splat, splat against the window, it's a tomato coming my way. And it's nice having you here. And I'm going to give you a chance to relax just a little bit. And I think maybe what I should do is put my foot in the water and ask the staff announcer to come in and maybe do a spot and then we'll talk. One of our sponsors. The Blue Nose Opera House on the Air radio program is brought to you by Goldberg, Mikulski, and Wong's Great Canadian Mustard. A great mustard should smell and taste hot. Like the dawn of a day, it should rise up to renew your senses like a new experience, boosting all the flavors in your dish. It makes plain flavors come to life. Even if what you've scrounged out of the cupboard tastes like the remnants off the packing house floor, a taste even vegetarians may come to love. Their common, off-the-shelf, non-designer, no-name brand just can't touch the holistic levitation experience when you add Goldberg, Mikulski, and Wong's Great Canadian Mustard. From your first bite down to your last since 1967, you know it's Canadian when it says right there on the label, Moutarde Canadian. Goldberg, Mikulski, and Wong's Great Canadian Mustard. And now we get to the serious part when we talk to Jeff Amos. But we do have to look after our sponsors.
Ah, yes. Well.
Okay. So your life has evolved. What made you land in Mahone Bay?
Well, I didn't at first. We settled in the North Shore.
Mm-hmm.
After 3 years up there, realized that just didn't have the same activity as the South Shore, came down to Petite.
About when was that on the North Shore?
That would have been from 79 to 81 or 2.
Okay, not important. I'm just asking that because that's the John Stevens family was up there raising beginning their five children family. And then you went down to Petite Riviere. And yep. What took you there?
Found a beautiful old general store that was changing hands from a family and its previous life. And we took that over, turned the upstairs into my furniture shop and downstairs into Susan's fabric shop.
Wait a minute. Susan's fabric that was your sister-in-law?
That was my first wife.
Oh, okay. All right, I'm getting confused here, so I'll get out the pencil and paper and we'll reorganize this. And when did you meet Jacqueline?
I met Jacqueline, the boys were 6 years old. Yeah.
Okay.
So they're 32 now.
And you moved from Petite Riviere after how many years? It's a beautiful spot.
Well, Cherry Hill was home and Petite was the shop. Mm-hmm. That was relatively short-lived, 3-4 years. I kept Petite shop for a while, sold it to Covey Island Boatworks.
I was going to ask you, that was a beautiful building they had.
It was a great spot. Mm-hmm. Made tons of furniture out of there.
That was a big, big building.
Yep.
And then what drew you to Mahone Bay?
Well, Jacqueline and I moved over to the Ovens, and I had my shop there. The world was changing. Craft shows had taken many of us to certain levels, and many of us were looking for something more permanent venue, and I took over bought and renovated the old Petrocan station in Mahone Bay.
The old station, yep.
Yep.
And you were there for a number of years.
Oh, 12, 13, 14 years.
That was a lovely store that you had there. And where were you doing your work for the product that you put in the store?
That was being done on the Ovens Road. We lived along the cliffs of Rose Bay.
On the Ovens Road.
Yep.
And you have been there until recently with horses, too?
Well, then thought we were going to Kingsburg.
Uh-huh.
But last-minute questions of title said we needed to go someplace else because we'd sold the Ovens, so we found Feltson. And thought, well, good, the lands we can put back to a good pasture, renovate the house. We went with one goat and one horse, and one thing led to the next. When we sold this late summer, we moved 22 horses out of there.
And you went further inland?
We did. We went to a farm I found, Jacqueline and I found, before I had any interest in logs to lumber, and it turns out we're 7 minutes diagonal from logs to lumber, backside of Langelik.
So do you have, you don't have this need to either be on the edge of the ocean or smelling the salt air from it, as you had in Felton South?
No, Felton in the Ovens was a seaside experience, yep. But the horses have dominated a number of things.
All right.
Yep.
I was curious because you had this very large, not tent, but you have very, very large what?
The riding arena.
Arena. And I could see it from South Cove, because I used to kayak down there from Upper Cove. And I thought, gee, that's an interesting place. And then later someone said, oh, yeah, that's where the Amoses are.
Yep.
So now you're in business in Mahone Bay.
Yeah, Obi, my partner, and one of my twin sons, we took over Logs to Lumber Company in October 08.
Okay, we'll talk about that in just a few minutes. You brought in the Mamas and Papas recording.
Yeah.
And that reminds you again of what? What does it do for you?
Well, Mamas and Papas are just one of those little Kindles that Jacqueline and I have run into their music in before Horse, and when we traveled a little, Mamas and Papas would come on in the strangest places and times, and it was just one of those fun things.
It's amazing for a 2-year run what they produced and what they have left us.
Yeah.
This is called I Call Your Name.
I call your name, but you're not there. Was I to blame for being unfair?
Don't you know I can't sleep at night since you've been gone? I never weep at night.
I can't go on.
Don't you know I can't take it?
You know I can't sleep at night, but just the same, I never weep at night. I call your name.
There's something comical about the Mamas and Papas in that version of I Call Your Name.
Over more of these affiliated stations, this is the Blue Nose Opera House.
Here we go. We got the cue. Jeff Amos, you're with us and you're co-hosting. But I'm going to grab the mic from you for just a moment and bring back somebody who was on the program a few weeks ago, in fact, in December. And he is just a brilliant, brilliant jazz man. And likes all kinds of music. Mike Howie, and this is his own composition, thing called Afterglow. very modern, very cool jazz from Mike Cowie and a thing called that he wrote called Afterglow. Blue Notes Opera House, Jeff Amos. So you brought us up to Logs to Lumber. How did that come about? You had your store in Mahone Bay, and that closed, or was there an overlap?
No, I was getting my energy siphoned off to horse. I had been very involved in forest policy issues through Forest Stewardship Council, and the sales venue was just changing for me in Mahone Bay. Mm-hmm. Trees Gallery tried for a couple of years, but our idea was bigger than the market. Mm-hmm. And then we needed to gather some sales. I sold the building to just shrink our affairs down some.
Mm-hmm.
Logs to Lumber, I still wanted voice in the debate on forest and what was going on in forest. And I naively thought that the venue of a molding business and the retail presentation it offered was a place that I could bend some ears over that.
And so being a masochist, you decided to reopen that retail door.
Yes. Forest practices is not to be talked of on the retail floor much.
Mm-hmm.
It's much more about price, timing, quality. But little kernels get to be talked about. And as we've shifted into our position in the marketplace as a retail venue, that is proving to be where we are.
You know, I want to talk about that more, and especially the forestry, but it's a fascinating shop, and it is a shop, not simply a store. You wanted to hear some Lightfoot music, so I apologize. This is a Lightfoot tribute album. What does Light Gordon mean to you and his music?
Oh, he carries me across the country time and again.
Really? And he can do it. I mean, his music is poetry, really. Harry Manx, if you want to levitate a little bit, does his version of Bendin' the Water.
Well, come on, Pearl, yeah, come on, Kitty. If you're feeling glad, yeah. Down around the bend in the water, bring your fish and land. Come on, Pearl, I'm rough, I'm ready. Well, I got my fishing pole. Down around the bend in the water, at the fishing hole. It's a fine July, a beautiful night, with the heavenly sky and the moonlight on the bay. Down around the bend in the water, if you feel inclined. Come on, Pearl, well, come on, Kitty, I'm gonna make you mine. Well, all around the world tonight, beautiful scene below. Find a time to stand in line. I'm gonna take my love to go. It's a fine July, a beautiful way for a boy and girl to pass the time of day. Hey, hey. Oh, 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 come on, Pearl, well, come on, Kitty. If you're feeling glad, down around a bend in the water, bring your fishing line. Beautiful sight below. To find a time to stand in line, I'm gonna take my love to go. A fine July, a beautiful night, with the heavenly sky and the moonlight on the bay. Oh, oh, oh. Down around the bend in the water, if you're feeling glad. Come on, Pearl, well, come on, Kitty, bring your fishing line. Come on, Pearl, I'm rough, I'm ready. Well, I got my fishing pole. Down around a bend in the water, at the fishing hole. Down around a bend in the water, at the fishing hole.
was not Lightfoot, but Gordon Lightfoot tribute, Harry Manx from the West Coast, Salt Spring Island, in fact, and I introduced it incorrectly. I called it Bendin', like Bending the Water, and it was Bend in the Water by Harry and by Gordon.
We're headed for the home stretch on Sunday night edition of the Blue Nose Opera House.
Blue Nose Opera House, we're back in it, and our special guest in the second hour is Jeff Amos. And no, we're not going to get in to start doing birthdays on this thing. I mean, it'll be coming in through the mailbox. And so we're not going to say happy birthday to Sandra England, who has been celebrating a week-long birthday, I am sure. So we're not getting into that, Sandra. We'd like to, but we're not going to get into it. But we will get into some music and more with Jeff Amos talking about Logs to Lumber and his new shop. Right now, I have to be careful when you pronounce somebody's name. It's like Letha Haytham and Rufus Wainwright. Rufus Wainwright, and this is a title song, and the music, somewhat the lyric, but the music is compelling. It's called Poses.
Yellow walls are lined with portraits, and I got my new red fetching leather jacket. All these poses, such beautiful poses, makes any boy feel like picking up roses. There's never been such grave a matter as come bearing our new brand name black sunglasses. All these poses, such beautiful poses, makes any boy feel as pretty as princes. The green autumnal parks conducting, and the city streets a wondrous chorus singing. All these poses, oh how can you blame me? Life is a game and true love is a trophy. And you stand, watch my head about it. Baby, you stand, watch my head about it. My head about it. Of reasons for to smoke the days away into the evenings. All these poses of classical torture ruin my mind like a snake in the orchard. I did go from wanting to be someone. Now I'm drunk and wearing flip flops on Fifth Avenue. Once you've fallen from classical virtue, won't have a soul for to wake up and hold you. In the green autumnal park conducting, all the city streets are wondrous chorus singing. All these poses now no longer boyish, made me a man. Oh, but who cares what that is? And you stand, watch my head about it. Baby, you stand, watch my head.
Head about it all.
That was Rufus Wainwright, and just a magnificent song called Poses. Jeff Amos is with us, co-hosting. I don't think you're sweating enough, but let's get to Logs to Lumber again.
Amos Wood.
Yeah, Amos Wood. And it's a fascinating place, and not that you need to know, but years ago, my dad, who worked for a corporation, said that if ever he owned his own business, he was fascinated with the old-type hardware stores, where you go in and, you know, pick things out of bins and in the back, and they often had wooden floors that creaked, and in the back, there might even be a small lumber yard or place where you get lumber, and the smell of sawdust and wood was just something that he loved, and I think of him every time I go into a lumber yard. Or your place. And I love the displays that you have of different moldings, and you can go pick them out or you can have them custom made. Do you find that the quality of wood is changing, and does that get us into, I wanted to touch that, the forestry aspect of how the environment and how Nova Scotia too, when we think we're so removed from, say, Ontario and the pollution,
this piece is really interesting. It used to be that white pine, or eastern white pine, Queens, Lunenburg counties, full of it, gorgeous material. Used to be, 25, 30 years ago, it was paint grave material. People are expressing, people my age, some a little younger, are saying, you know, you can't paint pine anymore. It's too young.
Wow.
That is such a huge statement. The forests are getting younger. And it reflects in the qualities. What we could paint and not have resins coming through because the wood was older and more settled and much finer grained, now it's open growth, very resinous, and so on.
Okay. I'm a neophyte, and many of our listeners are. So what do you mean the forests are too young? You mean that we're clear-cutting too much, and so they're not getting a chance to grow from the ground up? Before they're taken?
Yeah, that's right. The average age over time of the forest is decreasing. Where we used to have average ages of 150 to 250 years, now that average age is 60 to 80. Rotations suit industrial purpose.
Is that going to change back as the province maybe gets more aware of this and changes its policies?
There are huge speed bumps occurring from equatorial regions where plantations grow a rotation of trees between 7 and 15 years. That's why it's so hard pressed on the pulp industry, because those volumes are turning around faster with less social and environmental consequences, and we just can't keep up with that. So there may be a hard period coming where the forest is a very quiet place and will grow some.
And are we headed that way? Do you think most people are aware, or is it still too much greed?
I was talking to a small Sawyer sawmill operator just this morning, and us small businesses aren't getting the government handouts. If my business fails, no one's going to be at my door handing me money to keep it going.
You're not Abitibi.
I'm not Abitibi.
You're not an American company with a branch here.
That's right. I'm a group of five people trying to keep our living going and living in Lunenburg County.
You have a lot to say. And I'd like to invite you back again to continue this, because it's really not a political show. It's just a lighthearted getting to know people and their work and their transitions and their life stories.
Yeah, it'd be fun to spin on where we're going instead of what we're up against.
Can you do that in 30 seconds as to where we're going?
Oh, where we're going is to show people the delights of wood. Simple as that.
And just drop into your shop. You're there all the time now, aren't you?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
What about the horses?
Oh, the horses get my attention evenings, mornings, and weekends.
And your wife, the dentist.
Yes, she has my attention when I can catch her before she falls asleep.
Okay. We thank you, Jeff Amos, for being here. And you wanted to hear something from the Beatles, and what do they mean to you?
Beatles are just, they launched so much. They changed so much stuff.
They certainly did, and they certainly turned the music world upside down. I don't know if this is your cup of tea. It may be too overproduced, but from their last album of Let It Be, and recorded instead of in the studios on the roof of Abbey Road Studios at Apple, This is, to me, it's like life, and the guests we've had on today, because it's about life. It's called The Long and Winding Road.
The long and winding road. Disappear. I've seen that road before. It always leads me here. Lead me to your door. The wild and windy
Full Circle, Beatles, Long and Winding Road, yeah. And I'd like to say thank you to guest co-hosts Chris Ludica, Jeff Amos, executive producer John Wiles, Corey Morash, thank you too, especially our audience, and a big hello to Ina and John Allen. Nova Scotia, do not forsake Yarmouth and all the rest of Southwest Nova, including Shelburne, Argyles, Pubnico's, Lockport, and Liverpool. Good night.